fuzzy duck. What's its face?
Whatchamacallit.
Whatever it is, whatever it was. Chocolatey chocolate.
Whatchamacallit.
How does it go?
Wowzoo-doo.
Chew gooey caramel.
Whatchamacallit.
Doohickey. You know what I mean. Peanutty crispy.
Chewy, chocolatey, crunchy.
More than a mouthful.
The action room.
Am I getting married?
Yes, this is the inauguration march. All right,
but
so
it's more like you guys are doing the robot.
It does kind
of yes. Well, all right, folks.
Woohoo!
Welcome back to the action room. Thanks for joining us once again on another new episode. I'm Tony Wolf,
and I'm Jessica,
and we also have the beloved producer Mike with us. Say hi, producer Mike. There he is. A lot of things happening this week, right?
Yes!
A very special week for
Such
America. We had a special inauguration.
We've got a new president, everybody.
Brand new president. You might have heard of him. I don't know if you have. But really great inauguration. They had that little flub up with the words, reading the oath. But,
okay,
you know.
Can we quickly talk about our favorite parts of the inauguration?
Okay.
Flubbing up.
Yes.
Aretha's bow.
Oh, I loved Aretha's bow, yes.
That's about all.
And that's about it.
No. Did you watch Jon Stewart, anyone, the next day of the inauguration? He did a really funny bit where he spliced Bush's inauguration speech with Obama's, and they were so similar, and it was
my God.
Everyone was like, Jon Stewart, like, this is day one of hope. He's like, can't help myself.
But then he redid it, right?
He redid the oath, yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So, I mean, did he need to?
Because Fox News was already like, Obama this and that.
What if he's not really president? Because it wasn't done literally, word for word, properly.
So
the
guy
time.
Who flubbed the lines, was he, I heard he doesn't like Obama, so on purpose he maybe didn't want him to be president.
Well, he's kind of conservative and Obama.
And Obama voted against his confirmation as Chief Justice of the Supreme
Court.
I
have to say it was fun, but it would have been better in 3D.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I'm thinking of this because I'm in the 3D kind of mood right now.
Aretha's bow in 3D.
Yeah, that was already in my freaking
was
face.
Enormous.
It was wrong.
But I went to see My Bloody Valentine, which I'm a little disappointed that my friends are too grown up to see at this point. I asked everyone, and
we were just either I was willing to see it.
Either they were.
I've got major Oscar things I have to see.
No. Jessica actually has a real life, but I'm sad that my other friends kind of have a real life now too. It's like either they were too broke, or they had a girlfriend, or they had they had to do something.
I just needed a quiet night in. I'd been out all week.
Look.
Loser.
This wouldn't have happened 6 months ago. Let me just hit that much.
Election girl.
Okay, so
I thought it was fun. I thought it was fun. It was definitely as cheesy as an 80s horror film should ever be.
Right.
Bad acting. You know, just
was there
like,
some actual horror, suspense, startling moment?
Yeah, you know, I mean, and definitely the 3D thing is pretty cool. Although I have to admit, 3D, for the most part, in most cases, is just pointless. You know, most people are just talking. The best part ends up being just the credits, because you just, they pop out
over.
So much more,
My God.
As opposed to, real life doesn't really pop out, you know, and of course they throw things out the screen a little bit, but
what was the scariest part?
The acting. Just the acting is the scariest part. No.
And producer Mike actually has a pair of the special 3D glasses here in the studio.
Well, I thought I might actually get stabbed in real life. If you've ever seen a movie in Times Square nowadays, that's the scary.
They're
great.
They look like Buddy Holly glasses or like 1960s nerd glasses.
What happened to the paper glasses that used to be in cereal boxes?
It's, and I wonder how much these cost to make.
I will point out it says real
ticket?
D on
it. It was like, I want to say 15, something like that.
Right.
You know? And it was... and then you have the option to not... Because the first few nights I couldn't get in. It was totally sold out. So you have the option of seeing it in 2D. Like, why would anybody want to see that?
Ever.
You know? You barely want to see it in 3D.
Now, you said there's also different sections where the movie tells you now is the time to put on the glasses.
Yeah, there's this kind of point at which it's going down a mine shaft, which is what the whole film takes place in, you know. And so they're like, now put on. Now, this reminds me.
In the middle of the movie. Like,
no, at the beginning. At the beginning, right after the credits, because, I mean, the previews aren't in.
Does that come back, though, intermittently throughout the movie?
No. You keep them on for the whole time, you know. But I just came upon a new technology because, you know, I was in this head and I was like, you know, what can we do to spice up the action room? And I found out there's a technology that hasn't really been used. Uh-huh. It was used a little bit in the 80s, but it's 3D radio.
Whoa.
Get out.
I know. It's
3D radio?
Can we try it out tonight?
We are going to try it out later in the show. And anybody at home who has the 3D headphones will tell you when to put them on.
You can pick them up at Circuit City.
Right. which is out of business.
Or Radio Shack.
No, I thought you said that on purpose. Yeah, right. They can't take them back. There's nothing returned.
So, but we'll do that during the nerd news. And I think it's going to be pretty awesome. So
I'm pretty excited. All right. I think it's going to blow your
the
mind.
The action room in 3D. I know you can't contain yourselves, action fans. But we're going to take a break. We're going to leave you in suspense. And then we'll be back. With the nerd news and some other great things.
Put on your 3D headphones now.
News.
In 3D.
Breaking news. Watch out! Spider-Man 4 starts filming.
It's coming at you very soon. And Sam Raimi is not yet officially attached to direct, but he probably will. It's not set in stone. Now, the rumored villains are the Vulture... and the lizard.
Okay, guys, stop.
It's coming at you! It's in your face!
Guys, stop!
What?
Stop. I'm sorry, it's just not working. It's just not working. It's really annoying.
Really?
Meow.
3D radio is not working? They're filming in 2010 for an eventual 2011 release.
No, guys, no. Just don't even try. Yeah. Don't even try.
Okay.
Move on.
Well.
Okay, so I guess that was a miss.
3D radio.
But we've got some awesome more news coming up here. Secret Six. I heard you are quite a fan of this new book, Tony.
I'm a fan of this comic book. This is a very special feature where I chime in about a comic that I'm really excited about that is not getting the audience or the publicity or the promotion that I feel it should. Secret Six is a comic by DC. It's written by the wonderful Gail Simone, who also writes Wonder Woman. But for my book, for my money, Secret Six is even better. It's about a group of mercenaries.
Ooh.
It's kind of like the movie The Usual Suspects.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of characters. They're all kind of anti-heroes. They're crooks. Not that they're crooks with a heart of gold. But sometimes they're good, sometimes they're total assholes. Really great action. It has characters like Deadshot and a lot of other sort of B-list and C-list characters. Very fun, lots of suspense, great new villains that she's coming up with. I just think it's a fantastic, witty, terrific book. So everyone out there should be checking out Secret Six, ongoing series from DC Comics.
You know, I know it has nothing to do with this, and I mean, it's just the title itself, because the storyline obviously isn't anything like this. But Bionic Six... was an animated show in the 80s that was just like, it was so cool. Now, the biggest thing about
it's not about the $6 million man?
No, I mean, they're bionic.
He's bionic.
Bionic man?
Yeah,
the bionic woman and the $6 million man could, like, have a family.
Maybe that was the premise they were thinking of. But the whole thing is, that the coolest thing about, I remember, is that the intro to the 80s cartoons were always incredible. But the show itself wasn't animated as well. The one cool thing about this show is that the intro was just as good as the series itself. So and
it had an amazing song.
And the intro, I mean, I think all the intros have great songs, but this one is just amazing. I want to play it right now.
We are a family. I fight for them, and they fight for me.
it's a family.
A family brought together by faith and given superpowers through the miracle of modern science.
Okay, you know what? That was pretty fucking amazing.
Oh, my God. You guys have to go on YouTube and please...
It looks great, too.
You have to watch it as well as hear the audio because...
Bionic.
Oh,
Bionic
my God. Kids. This is a real family? Really?
And they have... But they have a black kid and an Asian kid. So I was thinking maybe the live-action version could be Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. And
they, yeah. I like it.
And the song was classic 80s music, really.
Oh, I miss
we
that
are
so much.
A family.
The Bionic, Bionic.
I take care of you and you take care of me.
No, because like I just miss the fact that, you know, the cartoons back then, they look like anime because they were done by the Japanese.
Right.
But they drew American styles. It didn't have the big eyes thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So
and they had bionic families kicking ass, eagles flying around.
I want to watch that show now.
The intro song kind of reminded me of the heavy hard rock songs from the Transformers movie,
right,
that were parodied in
Boogie Nights.
You got the touch.
It's all the soloing. And
stuff. Oh my God, totally awesome.
All right, so next up is a special treat.
We have a special feature.
Here at the Action Room, to honor the upcoming Oscars, have decided to make the first annual Actionemmy Awards.
Now, these are...
Actionemmy.
What are they?
Actionemmy.
There's the Academy Awards, and there's the Actionemmy Awards?
I think it's got to be more of an un. Actionemmy.
Actionemy.
No, but it's Actionemmy.
Oh, Actionemmy.
It's Action... Emmy.
They're not the action. When I first read this, though, I thought it was the Action Emmys.
That's what I thought.
No, this is the Actionemy, because there's the Academy Awards and the Actionemmy Awards.
Even though it sounds like a different language, like Indian or something.
I'd like to thank the Actionemy for...
the Actionemy!
The Actionemy Awards!
Maybe we'll change it, but Actionemy Awards.
For now, it's the first annual Actionemy Awards.
So we are going to tell you a little
Actionemy
bit...
You?
Actionemy! A little bit about our picks for the top movies that we know our geek fans out there are rooting for.
All right, so what's our first category here?
So, first up, we'll just start with the top, best movie. We've got Iron Man.
All right.
That's my pick.
Yeah, Hulk.
All right.
Dark Knight.
That was great, too.
Yeah.
I think I'm going with Dark Knight, because I am pissed that the Academy shunned... Like,
well, it's a shame, Jessica, that we can't judge this. It's we have a whole.
We should
committee.
Be Academy voters, or we are. Thank God, we're Actionemmy voters.
We're only the pretty like presenter people.
Yeah, we hired a whole committee. They have the handcuff and the briefcase and the whole thing.
Right. PricewaterhouseCoopers handles the nominations.
Tony, why don't you tell us about Best Actor?
Okay, so for Best Actor in a geek movie in 2008, Christian Bale for, of course, Bruce Wayne in The Dark Knight. Pretty amazing. I mean, his performance is great.
Except for the over-deep voice amplification.
Which is beautifully shown by that YouTube video where the kid made fun of, like, Joker is Joker!
I haven't seen that.
It's really funny. This guy made a YouTube video parodying the interrogation scene between Batman and the Joker. And I don't know, I think it's just look it up on YouTube, like, Batman interrogation scene parody. And it's the same guy playing Batman and the Joker. And he just goes... some of his little bits are, and the Joker's going, can we do that again? I really, all those words, I can't understand anything. So Christian Bale for The Dark Knight, Robert Downey Jr., I think I have to vote for Robert Downey Jr.
We're just talking about it.
For the Actionemy Awards. So Robert Downey Jr.
Maybe should it be Geekonomy?
No.
Now it's like Geek-a-me. Geek-a-me Awards. Geek-a-me.
Geek-a-me.
No?
Okay. So, Robert Downey Jr., witty, awesome, strong, brilliant, kicked ass. Ed Norton for the Hulk is our final nominee. Pretty good, but I think he got kicked
the
out.
The Hulk sucks.
What?
The Hulk sucks.
It was all right. All right. Okay. So,
Best Actress. We've got the smoking hot. Tattooed mommy of 50, Angelina Jolie for Wanted.
Which, by the way,
I didn't see Wanted yet, but I hear it's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, good thing the committee did. what was the same guy that did Wanted is coming out with a new movie called Kick-Ass, right? Did we mention?
Well, the writer of the comic, yes.
Right,
we talked
about
Kick-Ass, and then the David Blaine, whatever the hell. Hurt fight.
Totally losing it. Okay, yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
But anyway,
right.
Fight hurt.
Right.
Okay. Next, we've got the ever lovely indie rock beautiful princess. Maggie Gyllenhaal for Dark Knight.
Indie rock actress.
I mean, everyone loves her.
I'd say she's the best actress out of the three, but, you know, she didn't have that much to do.
Well, the next one is Gwyneth Paltrow for Iron Man, and she's won an Oscar in... But I don't care. This is Actionemies. Your previous awards don't mean shit to us.
Oh, shizzle. All right, so we'll see. We'll see who will win for Best Actionemy Actress. Now, moving on, best villain of a geek movie in 2008.
2009!
That's usually me.
I got the Bionic 6 and the number 8 on my head.
You help me and I'll help you.
The action of me, they're a
family. You keep changing the melody, Jessica. Now it's like a Sesame Street.
No, I can't sing for shit, okay?
A family of action room geeks joined by fate. All right. So for the villain...
Modern science.
Thanks to the wonders of modern science, they have their own website. All right, with 24/7 streaming video and audio and 3D radio.
Woo!
All right, so for villains, Jeff Bridges as the villainous, incredibly evil corporate billionaire arms dealer Obadiah Stane.
The villainous villain.
The villainous villains. When this movie came out, many people made jokes about the fact that if you're the villain in a comic book movie, you have to be bald.
Right.
Everyone's got to be bald, so he followed suit. Heath Ledger as the Joker, pretty legendary performance. He's going to win the Oscar in the real Academy Awards. He's going to win.
He wasn't nominated.
He was.
I don't think
so.
Was he?
He totally was. Oh, yeah, he got the nomination today. Double check us on that. Call the hotline. Leave comments. But I feel 99.987%
certain. I looked at it and I was like,
but Jessica,
it doesn't matter.
Jessica, it doesn't matter. We nominated him. Okay.
His was in fact the only Oscar nomination for Dark Knight at all, other than like stunts and technical things.
Yeah, their makeup and shit.
If he was still alive, what award show would he be at? Let's face it.
The Actionemies. I would be sitting on his lap.
He'd be here in the Action Room studio, and Jessica would be on his lap. All right, so
along with Christian Bale, which one, Christian Bale or Heath Ledger?
Tough decision.
Ooh.
I think you've got to go with Christian, right?
No, I think I'd go with Heath.
Really? Heath now or Heath when he was alive?
Okay, shut up. Okay. Wow.
All right.
My questions go back really far, and Christian Bale goes back to Newsies.
Oh,
anyone knows that?
Empire of the Sun when he was like 7? No, that's too early. Yeah. All right, so anyway, the final villain for best villain, Aaron Eckhart as Two-Face.
Nice.
He was good.
I think you got to go
with Heath for that, though. And he's going to win the Oscar.
We'll see.
All right, so let's go to best director.
Okay, I got best director right here. Jon Favreau for Iron Man.
Woo, Favreau!
Oh, yeah. Christopher Nolan, Dark Knight.
Who, by the way, was really nice at the San Diego Con when we had him do an ID.
Yes, he did do an ID.
Along with Robert Downey Jr. You can check that on the YouTube page.
Nice one.
Sorry.
Our YouTube page.
Guillermo del Toro for Hellboy 2.
Now what do you think?
That's like the only place Hellboy popped up on this, huh?
Yeah. Well, he's a great director, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Jon Favreau. I'm a big fan of his work.
Yes, I second it. Because
as
you know
actor,
what?
Director.
With the Batman thing, too, the tone had already been established. Jon Favreau had to take a B-level character that no one outside comics cared about, no one knew about, and make him interesting and make an exciting action, intelligent, exciting action movie.
And did you see the short that Sarah Silverman did last night on Jimmy Kimmel?
Uh-uh.
Or a few nights ago or whatever, about George Bush wasn't so bad. He made Iron Man have more meaning, you know, because it took place during the war.
That is George Bush's sole
achievement. That's his achievement.
All right, so finally
but
for
also,
the...
He was such a bad president, he made everyone elect a black man, and I think that's a good thing,
that
right?
Is.
Yeah. Did she say that, or are you saying that?
I'm saying that.
All right.
I mean, that never would have happened unless we were coming from the worst administration.
He could have been in the Bionic 6. All right, I don't even know. I'm just tying that back. All right.
Later we should choose six people that we would love to see, like, as the Bionic 6. Oh, Barack Obama, Sarah Silverman.
No, wait, Margaret Cho.
You know, that would be a great segment, though. To, like, what? Every once in a while, take a comic book that hasn't been done
and
yet.
Cast
and
it.
Cast it. Which they used to do in Wizard
yes.
magazine.
Yes. All right. That's
Let us
what's
know
new
what
feature.
You guys think.
Okay, so finally.
We're going to do it anyway.
This is my favorite category.
Do you want to do this, Producer
this
Mike?
This is a tough choice. Yeah, I'll do
in
this.
In the Academy Awards?
The worst movie.
Worst geek movie of 08.
Now, there might be a favorite here. But,
give it to us.
Anyway, The Spirit.
Which I heard none of us have seen, but is horribly bad.
Speed Racer.
Which I wanted to see, because it looked cool, but I didn't see
Who
it.
Who starred in Speed Racer?
Emil Hirsch.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was, the biggest thing about it was...
And
the,
John
it was,
Goodman.
It was the directors of The Matrix and stuff.
The Wachowski brothers.
Who is one of them a girl now? A transsexual?
He's transgendered. Yeah. He'll be in the studio soon to talk about that next week.
And
we get the pregnant man back too.
We should get the Wachowski brother and the pregnant man together and see what happens.
And Batboy.
And Batboy.
And Punisher Warzone.
For the other worst movie.
This seems to be their third strike on doing the Punisher movies.
Because yeah.
There was the first one in the 90s with Dolph Lundgren.
Right.
There was the second one
with Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane.
He's a good actor.
And the third one now is with who's that guy who did the Punisher?
Some dude from the Rome TV series. It was directed by a woman, which is rare in the world of action.
Interesting.
Anna.
So, yeah. It might have been the best one, though, but I don't know.
Now, there was one movie that got snubbed even from our worst list, and that movie was...
Hancock.
Hancock. Oh. Will Smith, drunk superhero movie.
Will Smith
movie.
Doesn't need us, unfortunately, but, you know. These are only for people who would actually be on the show, and yes. Two of them have been. Robert Downey Jr.
And Will Smith.
And John Favreau.
John Favreau.
Right.
No, Will Smith would
no,
be
No, I'm
on
just,
show.
I thought you were joking.
Ed Norton did refuse.
On the show item. Is a, you know, a delicate term.
Yeah,
I met him one time at a bar, and I was like, hey, you're on my show right now.
All right.
So those are the Academy Awards. Call our hotline with your pronunciation of the Academy Awards.
Let us know what you think about who should win, even though we have a committee that's going to decide.
Now, when the real Academy Awards come out, we will announce the winners.
February 22nd, which I don't know what that works out to our air dates. But
it'll be the week of. Yeah,
that
yeah.
Friday. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
While we're taking this break, sing the Bionic 6 theme song to yourselves. Go.
They're going to put me in the movies. They're going to make a big star out of me. We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is act naturally.
All right, folks, we're back in the action room. I'm Tony Wolf.
And I'm Jessica.
And, Jessica is back with us this week.
Hello.
Jessica.
She only comes at the end.
She could be in the Bionic
she's
6.
She's so shy.
Because she's like the vague ethnicity member of the family. All right, so we got...
What is Jessica? Where is Jessica from? We already asked
no, we
this
threw
question.
Out like right. Four nationalities. Jessica. She could be Indian. She could be in Slumdog Millionaire.
I know I am Jessica.
She didn't commit to one nationality.
No, because everything I do always ends up sounding Jewish.
She's like Vin Diesel, because Vin Diesel, early in his career, everyone tried to guess what he was, and he was like, I'm everything. Just give me jobs. I'm muscular. Okay. So,
I've got a bald head.
I'm bald and I'm muscular, and I can shoot guns and run around. All right, so we've
Wait.
Got...
What's coming up?
We've got so much packed into this episode, but coming up in just a few weeks is the New York City Comic Con.
Woo!
And as you know,
I'm so excited about that.
The Action Room is always there to cover the Comic Cons.
One of our biggest YouTube hits is Jessica interviewing nerds.
You guys have got to check all of you people who have fallen in love with Jessica over the air. You got to see all her amazingly wonderful YouTube interview videos where she mercilessly makes fun of comic geeks like you. I mean, not like you, but like.
But
other
I mean,
people.
I will come and get you.
Now, a new correspondent that we're going to have do some, you know, correspondent work, I guess, is Esther Koo, who is an Asian comedian, and she's really funny. And you can look her up. Her website is yummyku.com. KU.
And she was on Howard Stern.
She was on Howard Stern. I saw her on Howard Stern on the funniest, hottest girl, I think, contest or whatever.
All right.
And she was just really funny, and I thought she'd be good for kind of doing correspondent work for the Comic-Con and stuff like that. She said she'd do it, so it should be awesome.
Definitely check her out so you get excited to see those videos that'll come out. She is pretty freaking hilarious.
And I think she told me she's probably going to dress up like Chun-Li, who's a character from Street Fighter, so that should be funny.
Nice. All right, so we'll try to get a lot of great guests and interviews for the Comic-Con and just take in the sights. You never know what's going to happen.
You never know.
All right, so thanks for coming in with us this week, Action Fans.
Action Fans! Fans!
And be sure to check out our YouTube videos and our MySpace page. Leave comments.
Tell your friends. Call the hotline. Give me a holla.
This is the ending of the Action Room with the Bionic Six.
I'm not even going to go there. All right, I'm Jessica.
I'm Tony.
I'm Producer Mike.
And we're the Bionic Three, yeah!